it to Friday. Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to The Buckmaster Show. It's Friday, May 17th, 2013. Hope you are having a terrific day and looking forward to a very good weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster. We thank you very much for choosing The Buckmaster Show during the noon hour, where we are located at KVOI AM 1030. We're here each weekday, noon to 1, with The Buckmaster Show on Tucson's Intelligent Voice. We stream our show live and we podcast to buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Also, podcasts available at TucsonCitizen.com and TucsonSentinel.com. Of course, we are on Facebook, and we welcome you to be a friend of The Buckmaster Show. When you become a friend, we keep you posted on Facebook on the day's guests, what's going on with The Buckmaster Show. Today on our Friday Focus interview, Ward 6, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek, a Democrat who is running for re-election, and so far he is unopposed in his bid for another 4 years on the council. Joining me in studio to question the councilman, Mari Hereras is here, writer for the Tucson Weekly. Later we'll probably be joined by Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com. If you have a question or comment for Councilman Kasacek, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can also send us a Facebook question. We'll monitor the Facebook page through the interview. Now let's go to the live line, where we have Councilman Steve Kay, as he is affectionately known to his friends and probably to his enemies as well. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. You're just Mr. Social Media these days, man.
Oh, man. We're just, you know, for a guy that knew virtually nothing about social media or computers a few years ago, I've really gone full bore into it, Steve, on this Facebook, getting the word out about the show.
Well, I think you probably ought to give Rose some kudos for that.
Oh, you have that nailed right there. Rosemary Brandt really is to she should get a lot of kudos for the work she does on the Buckmaster Show. Anyway, Steve, a lot to talk about. I understand about 36 people gathered at the Ward 6 conference room. You're going to try to brief them about on last Monday evening about some of the issues, serious issues facing the city. I did not realize that we had so many looming issues beyond this budget.
Oh my gosh, yeah. There were probably the star put 36. I would double that number because people were in and out. The problem is that we hold our study sessions in the middle of the afternoon, in the middle of the week, and people work, and so they don't have a chance. And when you're trying to give the picture in the news media in whatever format, people are challenged with time constraints and you know, just space in the written media. And so it's hard for people to really get their arms around it. So I asked our assistant city manager, and also Richard Miranda showed up, and we just went through it, soup to nuts as to where we are with respect to the budget. And you're right. I mean, there are some huge challenges. We did not really structurally balance the budget this year. What we did is that we pushed our debt, $13 million of debt, into next year, and we were planning on selling some land to fund the rest of the $15 million shortfall. So we do have some challenges, and my concern is that it's only going to get worse as a result of some things that we know are coming. And it was a good evening, though. A lot of lively conversation. People had a chance to really engage with some of the people in the city hierarchy who really know this stuff. And I was gratified to have opened the doors and had so many people show up.
Okay, here's Mari Hereras of The Weekly.
So out of that, the presentation that was made, Steve, what do you think are the top three issues that you felt were important to share during that session with the public?
Well, I don't know if it'll be three. It'll be one big issue that is comprised of multiple moving parts. I just mentioned the debt that we pushed forward. We just gave, and I did not support this, we just gave raises to our employees that will wind up costing about $8 million to the base rate of our employees. We know we have a streetcar obligation coming for operations and maintenance. That'll be about $4 million bucks. Pensions are going to be a continuing problem. We know that's going to go up about $6 million next year, and there's very little we can do about that just by law. We're going to have another few million dollars for the, that we'll have to pay the county for the communications network, the PCWIN. We have some legislation that we still don't know what's going to happen coming from Phoenix that could cost us $3 to $4 million. We're going to lose some police officers who federal grant money has been paying. We're not going to lose them, but we're going to lose their grant funding, and we're going to have to pick that up on the general fund. And we've got about $4 million in deferred retirement that's leaving. So we know going into the start of fiscal year 15, that's $35 to $45 million right off the top in just what I just listed off. And that's a deficit. And so I do not begrudge our employees, the city employees, pay increase. But you know what? Sometimes the answer is we can't afford it. I voted against it because I did not want to set them up with the possibility of saying, you know, we'll give you 55 cents an hour or a 5% raise or however it works out this year, but next year we may have to furlough you or lay you off or cut services, and that's a position I just felt wasn't a responsible position to take.
Steve Kasachek is with us on our Friday Focus interview coming up now on 12:11 on the Buckmaster Show. We are now joined in studio by Dylan Smith, editor-publisher of Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, go ahead. You're with Steve Kay.
Steve, I want to sort of continue down the road talking about these raises. How likely is it that now that the council's promised employees these raises, and how likely is it you'll have to turn around and, you know, in the fall sometime say, oh, sorry, we're not going to be able to afford that?
Well, I mean, I think it's unlikely because, I mean, the reality is it's going to be a month before an election. And, you know, that's the reason I said let's not even begin down the road. You talk to any of the private sector people in this community, and they will tell you that, yes, times are tough. We haven't given our employees raises in 3 or 4 years either. We'd all love to do it, but if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. And I don't want to pre-position ourselves to have to give something out this year and wind up furloughing. I mean, here's the reality, is that if you ask the fire chief, you know, what are you going to do to fill the hole that I just described? His first reaction is, well, we're going to have to close a firehouse. Well, we're not going to do that. If you ask the chief of police, you're going to lose 200 officers to the DROP program. That's the deferred retirement program. You're going to have to backfill for those. You've got 75 officers coming off of the grant funding, and you're going to have to find the money for that. How are you going to fill it? And he's going to shrug his shoulders, too. And so we're not going to lay off cops, probably. We're not going to close a firehouse. And so what we have effectively done is make the collateral damage the non-public safety workers in the city workforce from the standpoint of furloughs and layoffs. And I just didn't think that was an equitable thing to do.
All right, coming up now on 12:13 on the Buckmaster Show, Dylan Smith is here, Murray Herreras from the Tucson Weekly, and we're ready with a call on the Buckmaster Show live line. Josh would like to ask a question to Steve Kasachek. Go ahead, Josh.
Not to light too big of a fire, but are you going to endorse Karen for re-election?
I'm supporting all of the people who are running. I think we have a good thing going right now in the council, and if I would be happy to go into all the economic development incentives that we've put into place. We have a good momentum right now on the council, and with a new mayor, new city manager, I'm glad we have a good team in place.
Steve, let me ask you about your re-election bid. Are you surprised you'll have no opponent in the primary, and unless someone's a write-in candidate, looks like you'll be unopposed in the general as well. Were you expecting any opponent, or what are some of your thoughts?
Well, I still am. I'm not taking my eye off the ball at all. Write-in candidates have until the middle of summer to write in, and if you'll recall, Brent Davis was elected as a write-in just a year ago, or 2 years ago, I guess it is now. Rick Grinnell ran against Jonathan for the mayor as a write-in candidate. So with the positions I've taken with respect to gun control, there is a lot of resentment in the community and in one element of the community. Although I would say, on balance, I believe that was a positive initiative to have pushed and to continue to push. So I'm not taking my eye off the ball at all. The campaign I've got going right now is We have about 800 signatures that we turned in that were the maximum we could to get on the ballot. I will tell you that I've been welcomed by the Democratic Party with open arms, and I can't even describe to you the number of people from the Republican Party saying, you know, we just like your fiscal discipline and we're going to continue to support you. So I think it would be very difficult for someone to step in at this point and mount a serious challenge. But I'm going to assume that they are until the meter runs out.
All right. This might be a good time. Rose says yes, thumbs up, to take the mid-break on our Friday Focus interview. Steve Kay will remain for another segment. We'll be back. We're certainly going to talk about the El Rio Golf Course and whether or not that will be a good site for Grand Canyon University campus. That's next on The Buckmaster Show.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rebel. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
West and La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westandlapalomaresort.com.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Welcome back to the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview, and today it's Steve Kasachek, Democrat, Ward 6. Talk a little bit about, I want to also point out for those just joining us that with me in studio, Dylan Smith is here, editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, and Mari Herreras, writer for the Tucson Weekly. Let's begin with the El Rio golf course. Will that become, in your opinion, Steve, the Grand Canyon University campus?
I don't think it will, nor do I think it should. I think that the city is making, on multiple levels, a big mistake in even engaging negotiations with that group. I can just touch on a few of them. Number one, we have an existing contract with the Conquistadors to engage the First Tee program, to operate the First Tee program out there. First Tee is not a program how you teach kids how to play golf. It's really an after-school program. It's teaching kids life skills, and it's being hosted on a golf course, and so it gives them activities as well. That has been well received by the community in the immediate area, as well as the broader community. The Conquistadors have put over $2 million into a facility out there. The agreement that they had was that they would maintain that facility, which is to say an 18-hole golf course, for the term of their agreement. I think it is nothing but bad faith for the city to go in and begin negotiating with a third party while that contract is in play. That would be one of my concerns. Another of my concerns is just the community on the west side has a 40-year-plus history of wanting to have that. You know, they negotiated the Joaquin Murrieta Park. There is a huge uprising out there right now that the city just, on the heels of the TUSD and the Pima College issues, we don't need another black eye in this community of just a huge food fight, and that's what this is going to turn into. And finally, maybe if it even gets to this, Grand Canyon has some bylaws that are going to not play well in this community that will come out. And so my guess is, and it's only a guess because I'm not involved in the negotiations, that this is not going to go forward. I think it was a mistake for the city to even take the next step and continue negotiating with them. It's going to generate nothing but ill will with the surrounding community. It is bad faith with the Conquistadors, and I think it was just a mistake to move forward with it.
Here's Mari Herreras from the Tucson Weekly. Go ahead, Mari.
So, Steve, you're basically saying let's not continue as a city to continue to negotiate with the university. And I understand, though, that there were 11 other sites out there that were selected, and with El Rio being one of them. And I wonder, though, if that's still moving forward, if the university is still considering even Tucson with the negative publicity, with the community reaction. And if those other sites are still in play.
Well, I don't know. I was going to say I'm not involved in the negotiations, right. But quite frankly, I don't think the city of Tucson and the West Side residents and the Conquistadors are here to curry favor with Grand Canyon University. If they want to be a participant in this community, let them come in gracefully and engage the community, not whoever they're negotiating with or with in the city hierarchy, and wind up making creating a huge blowback. I mean, I don't think it's our obligation to find them a site. If they want to move into the community, that would be fine, but they need to move into the community in the same way any other business, or and they are a business. It's a for-profit university. They need to move in here the way any other business would, not just come in and run roughshod over existing contracts and existing neighborhoods, but find a way to fit in and assimilate in a way that they're a community partner and not come in with this antagonistic attitude that clearly has already been generated.
Charles has a question for us on the live line. Charles, go ahead. You're with Steve Kay. It's about El Rio and Grand Canyon, I assume.
Yeah, you were, Steve. I think you're rightly concerned about people's life skills. I think it's an appropriate thing for a city to look at. Looking at it objectively, do you think that a certificate that a person knows how to play golf would be more valuable than a 2-year college degree?
It's not about a certificate to play golf, and it's explicitly not that. Are you talking about the First Tee program?
I think he is,
yeah,
yes.
Well, that's not what the First Tee program is about. The kids don't get out of there with a certificate to play golf. It's an after-school program for low to moderate income kids. It serves the community well for people who are having two income families. It is an absolutely wonderful program. The Conquistadors are a group of people who have served this community in multiple ways for youth and amateur sports. But even beyond that, they're engaged with the community on the west side and in more broadly all over the community in serving youth sports across the community. So we're not talking about a golf certificate. We're talking about a group of people who are heavily invested in this community. I don't know the value of the Grand Canyon University degree. In fact, I think it's more than a 2-year degree. I think it's a 4-year degree.
I think it's 4 years.
Yeah, so you even understated that, but I'm just not buying the premise that anybody, whether it's a private sector manufacturing plant or an educational institution, that they have a right to wander into our community and just step on existing contracts. And quite frankly, Charles, the city of Tucson government has an integrity issue going on here, in my opinion. And that is, do we honor existing contracts or do we blow them up when a better offer comes along? And that, to me, is more important. That whole ethic is more important than the whole conversation about a golf certificate or a 2- or 4-year college degree. You know, what's the next contract signer going to say to us if we sign a contract and say, "Well, look what they did to the Conquistadors"? It means nothing. If we sign a contract with you, City of Tucson, there's something to be said for that too.
Well, I think Jim is next on the live line, and Jim, I think, also has a question about the Grand Canyon issue. Go ahead, Jim.
Yes, good afternoon, Steve. Good afternoon, Bill. Thanks
Hi.
For letting me on. Listen, you know, there's plenty of other land around Tucson that needs to be developed and could be developed into a university. As a matter of fact, I think the city of Tucson even owns some land up north towards Marana. So, I mean, there's private land. There's the old Spanish Trail Motel issue that needs to be looked at. So there's an awful lot for GCU to do. They don't have to go to El Rio.
Yeah, Jim, I agree. If GCU and the city can't agree on a piece of land where they can assimilate gracefully into this community, then let them go to Oro Valley. But they don't. It's not our obligation to attract them in here in such a clunky way that's going to wind up breaking contracts and breaking trust with neighborhoods. So I agree with you.
Okay, here's Dylan Smith. Dylan, sorry I couldn't get to you. I wanted to get to those calls.
That's quite all right. Steve, you expressed some reservations about the policies that Grand Canyon University has. You want to delve into that a little bit?
Well, I mean, I haven't read all of their bylaws, but they have some anti-gay policies that are still in their bylaws, and I just don't think that reflects the ethics of this community. And so, you know, that my guess is that it won't come to that. I'm suspecting that they'll look at the dynamics of the Conquistadors contract and the issue of the West Side community. And I don't even think it'll come to that. But if it does, I would be very surprised if this mayor and council would embrace a contract with a group that has some explicitly homophobic bylaws.
Does your position on that extend to other city properties, or are you just thinking about El Rio?
It's the only one that's in play right now.
Okay, let's see if we can work Dan in on the live line. Dan, go ahead with Steve Kay.
Thank you very much. I'm just amazed at how casual this city councilman sounds for a city that's going to obviously be bankrupt in the next few years, and he's throwing away millions of dollars. Go ahead.
Okay.
Well,
I guess he's referring to Grand Canyon.
Yeah, I guess. And so, first of all, there is a question that I've asked the city attorney to look into with respect to whether or not it's even taxable. to the extent that it's taxable, because it is a for-profit, specifically religious institution, and the state just passed a statute that that Grand Canyon was supporting that would give them a tax exemption. So we don't know what kind of millions of dollars we're talking about, Dan. Number two, when we opened this program, I identified $45 million in deficits, and that's the reason I opposed changes in the pension plan that this council just adopted, and also opposed the raises. So there's no cavalier about the financial situation we're in, but at some point you can't assume the dollars are going to be there, and number two, you can't blow up existing contracts because it's an ethical and a good faith thing, and number three, you just don't disintegrate neighborhoods this way.
Steve Kasachek, thank you very much for being with us. I hope you have a great weekend, and take care.
You too, all three of you.
Thanks a lot.
Adios.
Thanks. And coming up next, our Friday Reporters Roundtable. We will have some news for you on the roundtable. Dylan Smith was at that special meeting of the Pima Community College Governing Board to select a new chancellor. We'll learn who he is right after the break.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. After spending much of the week addressing controversies including the IRS and Benghazi, Libya, President Obama is trying to put a focus back on jobs and the economy. Speaking in Baltimore, the president says despite signs of growth in the economy, Washington has more work to do and cannot allow its focus to drift. Another bombing in a Sunni area of Baghdad has pushed the day's death total to at least 58. Iraqi officials say the latest blast hit a commercial area in a mainly Sunni neighborhood in western Baghdad, killing at least 7 people and wounding 20 more. All 7 people thought to be missing after an outbreak of tornadoes that hit North Texas on Wednesday have now turned up safe. The Hood County Sheriff's Office says the death toll from the violent storm system remains at 6 and is unlikely to go any higher. On Wall Street at last check, the Dow was up 71 points.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Row. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We thank Steve Kasachek, our Friday Focus interview, and now we are on to the roundtable portion of our Friday show. Our Friday Reporters Roundtable features a group of journalists who are kind enough to come in and share with me and the Buckmaster Show listeners their views on the top stories of the week. And one of the top stories of the week happened actually within the last 90 minutes or so, and Dylan is editor-publisher of the online Tucson news service, TucsonSentinel.com, happened to be at the Pima Community College Board, Governing Board, where they made the announcement of a new chancellor. And before I turn it over to Dylan, I also want to say that Mari Herreras is also with us. We thank Mari for coming in, too, on our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Mari is a staff writer with the Tucson Weekly. So the new Pima Community College chancellor is Dylan Smith. No, he's not Dylan Smith.
Well,
here's Dylan Smith.
If someone wants to pay me $290,000 a year to take on that job, I just might
available?
Pick that up.
You think you might be able to, for
that kind of fee.
Would you be in a quick enough study, Dylan?
I've been paying a little bit of attention to Pima the last couple
really
of weeks
have.
As been, we went through this. So, yeah, I've got a handle on it. I'm taking that job.
You've been all over the story, and you were at the meeting, and the special meeting was quick, I guess, huh? Fairly quick.
Well, this has, been in the works for quite some time. Pima College officials were playing their cards pretty close to the vest, but the board voted unanimously this morning to hire Lee Lambert as the new permanent chancellor of Pima Community College. He's been the president of Shoreline Community College in Washington State for about the past 6 years or so, and by all accounts from people who made a site visit up there and, dug up the information on him, he's a very well-respected guy. And a lot of the people who were even opposed to the board continuing with this search process because of all the turmoil that the school has been going through say that they very much want to work with him and try and improve the school's reputation and get things back on track.
That is very good news that folks are going to at least give Mr. Lambert a chance. And he does have, Mari, some very impressive credentials.
Yeah, he has a great reputation. I think this is the one thing that we have that didn't, the board this time I think did its homework in terms of making sure they weren't inheriting a possible disaster as we saw the last time. I mean, the board was really diligent in looking at his background, and he comes from a district where he has a great reputation working with other groups, other government entities in Shoreline, and just coming in, I think, with that is going to be a huge step in Pima going in the right direction.
You have some friends up there in that area, and they
speak
highly of him.
Yeah, my former editor from my days in Seattle is the director of public information at Shoreline School District, and he said they have a really good working relationship with the college, and that Lambert has a good history with folks there and is trusted and has 20 million good things to say about the guy, so...
Is that up near Seattle then?
Yeah, it's a north Seattle suburb.
Okay, so it's in the greater Seattle area. Mm-hmm. So what's the timetable, Dylan?
Lambert's going to start work July 1st. He's got a three-year contract, and you know, personally speaking, I hope he can turn things around.
Mm-hmm. Well, he certainly has his work cut out for him, but at least he comes in with a lot of people saying that let's give this guy a chance. He's got great credentials, so we will see what's going to happen with that, and that will his new position will be July 1st. Any other thoughts on the meeting? I assume it was the board unanimous on the decision?
Yeah, it was a unanimous vote. Even Sylvia Lee, who is called on all of the other members of the board to resign because she and a lot of other people think that they hold some responsibility for all the problems that Pima's in, what ended up putting them on probation. You know, she was one of the delegation who went on a site visit to Shoreline earlier this week and said that, you know, despite her reservations about the process, that he's the guy for the job.
Yeah, one thing that kind of jumped out at me, too, as I looked at his resume, he's pretty strong into human relations. He's been very much involved with that.
Yeah, before he was president of the school, he ran the HR department at Shoreline. And prior to that, he was an instructor at Evergreen State College in Washington.
Mari, one of the areas you cover for the Tucson Weekly is education, and this is a story that kind of broke, I guess, about a week ago concerning TUSD, as if TUSD needed some more bad publicity, right?
Yeah, really.
What was this? Some people in procurement, or what was this?
Yeah, people in procurement. I can't speak today, I guess. or that's just too many P's for me. Theft and reselling, selling items and pocketing things like whiteboards and desks and chairs, tables, and having it be went to police for investigation. Certainly isn't the first time the district has faced these kinds of issues before, but the timing of it, not so great. And just as John Petticone's leaving office, and it isn't the first time. There have been rumors of other departments having these issues. I think the transportation department was one that I was talking to you about earlier, but this time a district that $17 million deficit.
Yeah, it really looks bad.
It just
I mean, with all that, the big deficit, and this is actually six of the department employees in Tucson's TUSD's property control department have been placed on administrative leave. They are alleged to have been selling district property illegally for 6 years.
Yeah, 6 years.
Yeah. Great publicity, right, for TUSD?
Well, is there an educational institution in this town that is, you know, not going
it's
through
not tainted.
Some turmoil? You know, you've got Pima on probation and, you know, all the divisiveness mm-hmm. between the board and the faculty and staff. You've got TUSD in search of a new leader with Petticone leaving. You've got the uproar down at Sunnyside with,
over there, their superintendent.
The flames were fanned there again when Esquerdo tried to move to San Antonio and take a position there. And ASDB as well, which you've written about, Mari.
Right.
Yeah. Dylan, you wrote about the Consul Challengers. We just had Steve Kasachek on our live line, and he was talking about there might be a write-in candidate in his ward, but right now he looks like he's got pretty smooth sailing to another 4 years. There will be two Consul Challengers who have filed nominating petitions this week.
Yeah, there are two Republicans who will be on the ballot and apparently be running unopposed in their GOP primary in August. There's Mike Pollock, who's running on the South Side, a political newcomer. And Ben Buehler-Garcia is, again, challenging Karen Ulich. And, that was a pretty tight race the last time around.
It was tight. Karen won a narrow race 4 years ago. I don't remember exactly how many votes, but it was not all that many.
That she just under 200 votes, if I recall.
Yeah, so I think the filing deadline is quickly approaching, so we're going to have we'll have a couple of elections in – well, actually two ward elections, and then we'll see whether or not Steve Kasachek will have a challenger as a write-in challenge, but pretty much he looks like he's home free. A little bit of a shakeup in the city manager's office. Liz Miller, deputy city manager, stepping down. Dylan, you wrote about this in TucsonSentinel.com. Is this a big deal? Did it have anything to do with the city manager's office, I guess, being kind of embarrassed when they went to talk about raises? The council said, hey, we needed more information. Where'd this come from?
Well, nobody wanted to talk, specifically about what triggered her resignation. And, as most of these things are written up, she said she wanted to go spend more time with her family, the way everybody writes a resignation letter. But, but Miller had already retired several years back from the city and then been rehired first on an interim basis and then bumped up to deputy city manager on a permanent basis. So it's not like she needs the money, and if she just got tired of dealing with the hassle of the job, why stick around?
Well, we talk about like all the crazy things that are going on at this time. And if we look at the past, that's one of those positions that, this idea of constantly hiring interim folks, and then waiting until they're, or hiring retirees, that's another wonderful thing we're really good at, just straight out hiring someone. The TUSD is notorious. A lot of the upper administration is hired as interim. And that's really good money for folks to come in,
especially if you're already getting a pension.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a little extra money, isn't it? With the interim, even if you could do the interim for 6 months. Again, Mari, one of your other areas that you cover, the border, and you look at immigration. I thought that was interesting. This study that came out this week showing that the Border Patrol, in effect, the study is from the Council of Foreign Relations. It's a 76-page report, and it's saying, in effect, that the Border Patrol really doesn't have a firm grip on the number of people that are coming across the border.
Yeah, but what was interesting about that study, at least from a couple of people I talked to about that, was that it wasn't – it's amazing sometimes that you have to do a huge study. The fact that they had to do 76 pages when this isn't a topic that a lot of border folks have been talking about for a long time and have said that they don't – it's a common discussion.
They could have talked to Sheriff Estrada
in
Santa Cruz County, who has been saying for 20 years or more, we have no idea how many people are crossing the border.
The only way we ever seem to really know is when we look – we could look at apprehensions and we could look at deaths, the people found dead in the desert. That's the only – those are probably our only stats. But in actuality, we still have people coming in all the time, and we don't know. And this idea of the border being militarized or more money is going to, help, frankly, I think the study kind of proves that it doesn't. And I don't know what more people need at this point.
And then, Dylan, there's the economic component. The study pointed out that despite all of throwing all the bells and whistles and all the resources at the border, one of the major reasons that there have been fewer crossers is simply an economic situation. Things were worse in this country economically, but things have improved in Mexico.
Things have improved in Mexico. And, according to a report that came out this week, more people are actually coming across now because the economy has ticked up a little bit in the United States, that more people are crossing the border. So it's, I guess that import-export business is turning around a little bit. But, Mexico over the past couple of years, despite a lot of what, the headlines that appear, has become a little bit more stable itself, which means that a lot more people want to stay where they grew up, with their home, in their homes, with their families.
And there have been people like the Reverend Robin Hoover, Mari Herreras, who have been saying, again, like Sheriff Estrada, the sheriff of Santa Cruz County, has been saying for years, this whole issue of the border if you really want to solve it, you've got to look at the economic situation to our friends to the south.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think people have been saying that for years. But it's not just economic, okay? Because, yes, the middle class in Mexico has been increasing. It's stronger than it's ever been before. There's that element of it. But we still have almost 60,000 people in Mexico that are unaccounted for because of the U.S. drug war against Mexico or in Mexico or involvement in Mexico. So that has not been necessarily a good feeling for a lot of people. I'm not talking even about Americans thinking of coming and traveling into Mexico, but Mexicans themselves who are involved in those movements there. You know, it's still a big part of people's lives in Mexico are the 60,000 folks who were murdered and many people still unaccounted for.
All right, we're going to wrap this up in a few seconds, but we do want to take note that there has been quite a bit of progress up at the legislature, Dylan. We had Bruce Wheeler predicting the session would end at the end of next week. We had Ethan Orr, representative, saying probably the end of the month. But I think the news is that there's a budget, there's movement on a budget, and on the governor's Medicaid expansion.
And the budget is, I don't know if it's entirely passed through the Senate at this point. There was a bunch of progress made in the last couple of days, and next week the House will be taking that up. And after that, it needs to go back to the Senate to approve whatever changes are made. So I don't know if things will get through completely next week, but it is looking like by the end of the month we will actually have a state budget, which is a whole lot different from what we were hearing a couple of weeks ago when everybody was predicting that it might go
through July into
August.
All right, Mari and Dylan, thank you both very much. Have a great weekend.
You too. And everybody else out there.
Thanks.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark.
I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Oh, I am ready for the weekend, and when I hear that music, it really puts me in the mood. This portion of the Buckmaster Show and Weekend Watch, presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to the 18th annual Silver City Blues Festival Memorial Day weekend, which is a week from today. Maria Muldaur will be one of the headline performers. Plenty of great places to stay, including Spirit Canyon Lodge and Agave Ridge Retreat. You can find out more about it on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. And you can't hear the music on the Buckmaster Show without thinking of award-winning Tucson publicist and Inside Tucson business, food, and beverage columnist. He is Matt Russell, a guy who can always find a happy hour. He's always ready.
Absolutely. The music has us dancing here at Russell Public, Bill. I mean, you bring that on every week, and we just love it. But happy hour gets us dancing as well. Now, I stopped into the new Aloft Hotel the other day over at Speedway in Campbell, and I thought what a great place this would be for a happy hour. So the hotel's WXYZ Lounge is my pick for today. Now, this place has such a great vibe and great energy, and you're virtually surrounded by a kaleidoscope of colors the moment you walk in, whether you're kicking back on one of their couches or just sitting up at the bar. And their happy hour specials are certainly worth celebrating, including $2 off their specialty cocktails starting at 4 o'clock. Bill, people in the know are calling this the hippest of happening hotspots, so check out the WXYZ Lounge for happy hour today.
Yeah, we know a little bit about the new Aloft because the folks from Aloft were on the Buckmaster Show Tuesday outlining really everything that's been going on over there, and it's really a beautiful facility, Matt. A
lot of fun.
Arizona, what is this? You can't get enough bacon these days. They're doing bacon with chocolate and pancakes and you name it. Well, why not put together a whole bacon festival?
A one-day festival that celebrates the goodness that is bacon. Oh. More than 20 local restaurants serving up bacon-inspired dishes and, yes, bacon beverages. It's the Arizona Bacon Fest, which convenes tomorrow from noon to 4 over there at Reed Park. Now, in addition to all the bacon for eating and drinking, there'll be an official bacon competition, and I wonder if they need any more judges, Bill. I'm certainly available. Everything is better with bacon, and tomorrow we'll be in bacon heaven at Reed Park for the Arizona Bacon Fest.
You know, along with the lime on that margarita, why not put a little slice of bacon?
I don't know. I am in.
Yeah, bacon is really what folks are talking about these days. And, of course, they're one of your favorite eateries having an occasional, fun event going on at Acacia.
Yeah, another great way, I think, to spend tomorrow afternoon is Chef Albert Hall's sausage class up at Acacia on Skyline in Campbell. Now, in this class, Bill, which starts at 11 a.m. tomorrow, you're going to have the chance to make 6 different kinds of fresh sausages from scratch while learning the basics of grinding and curing and smoking from who I think is a real sausage master himself. And along with the class, get this, the students are going to be treated to a full lunch, some delicious beer, and their handmade sausages are going to be packaged up for them to take home. So give Albert Hall a call today to reserve your space, 232-0101. This sounds like a blast.
Yeah, my goodness. You've got bacon, you got sausage, and you've got a really fun, happy hour at the Aloft. It's going to be a hot weekend. Get out and enjoy it. Matt Russell, thank you very much.
Right back to you, Bill. Cheers.
Thanks a lot, Matt Russell. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by our friends at Culligan. Culligan offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. All of our guests on the Buckmaster Show are provided with a bottle of Culligan water. And Culligan water, everybody likes it, and why wouldn't they? Culligan water, it simply tastes better. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show from 3 to 5. Here on KVOI, The Voice. Then Monday morning, it will be Chris and Joe with you from 6 to 8, and I'm going to be taking off next week. I will be back with you the following week, and I want to tell you that we have a great lineup of guest hosts for you. Dan Scheer on Monday from the Green Valley News will be sitting in. Shelley Fishman on Tuesday will be our host. Sarah Garrett Gasson on Wednesday from the Arizona Daily Star. Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com will be with us on Thursday. And then Sarah back for our Friday Focus interview next week. And I believe the guest will be Carolyn Cox, the head of the GOP party here in Pima County. The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, the lovely and talented producer Rosemary Brandt, and our newest team member, our broadcast sales representative, Bob Richardson. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.